This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA today or visit menstclinic.com. That's menstclinic.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hi, I'm Dave Musial, owner of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric. And this is our biggest sale ever. Buy a new air conditioner or furnace and get 72 months interest-free financing and up to a $4,000 system rebate. Plus, Four Seasons guarantees to beat any competitor's price by up to $1,000, guaranteed. Call today for your free in-home estimate and same-day installation.
For all the right reasons, call 866-4-SEASONS.
Here we go, hour three of the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. We're having a great day. Thanks for making us part of it. Just one more hour of show as Rangers baseball is coming up at 5 o'clock. They're in Boston. Jared Sandler will have the pregame. Mally on the hill. And Brett Boone still in the coaching staff. What do you guys take from last night's successful offensive outing here? Sign for hope for me. Possible turning point on my radar with urgency. Right, I believe in the sports psychology stuff. I believe in having the right coaches, and the wrong coaches can make a downward trend complete misery. I think, as I said last week after they had the one good game of the week, I need to see this for about 10 days.
Yeah, you want to see a larger sample for sure before you can really start getting confident. I think Mike Bacsik was talking about that on television last night. Like, you want to see stacking up some games. You have a random 15-run game last week, and then you follow it up with a bunch of nothing burgers offensively. That doesn't really do it for you. But when you start stacking like they have now, two games in a row, 8 runs, 6 runs, you keep getting these 5 to 6 run games going, all of a sudden the confidence goes through the roof. It was nice to see Evan Carter back in there getting off to a nice start. It just felt right, didn't it?
Yes, it
felt right watching him in there, him and Langford in the outfield together.
Yes.
All that matters, and the defense was dominant last night too.
The Rangers universe made sense again, but I forgot about Sunday. You're right. That's back-to-back games.
Yes.
With above-average offensive production, as Ralph Strand just joins you now here on The Fan. And a good evening, sir. How the heck are you?
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Well, it's game one, round two. How do you think I am? I'm, you know, a little nervous.
Yeah,
a little
pacing.
Nervous. I'm paced. Well, you caught me at the Trader Joe's.
Okay.
Getting my pregame sustenance all squared up. So I had to ask the manager if she'd watch my cart. I'm standing outside. Beautiful Palm Springs, looking at the mountains, talking to y'all on the phone.
Well, I love it, man. Thanks so much for making more time for us. Now, you got the Ralph stack. You got the Ralph cast. How much content you cranking out these days, Ralph?
Lots. I publish pretty much every day, Gavin. Like, nice. I'm active. I really enjoy writing. I've always kind of wanted to see what I could do. Could I make at least a part-time living as a writer. Mm. And it's been really fun. I'm just about to publish my 100th piece. I'm moving up the charts. I am now number 17 on the New Sports People on Substack. So go check me out, Ralph Stack, Substack. And then I got this stupid little TV show that one of these days I'm going to have you on. The Ralph Cast podcast, that's on YouTube. And we're dropping the preview today with our old friend Edward Egross. Some very good stats information, and then Savannah Hummoller, who is my Dallas Stars insider. So that's dropping this afternoon before the game. So, and what a day.
Do you do the whole
what
league?
A time to be alive.
Do you do the whole league, or do you mostly just do Stars?
Mostly just Stars, right? But, like, because I, you know, from a business standpoint, I went at the center of the bullseye for me, right? Which was the people who kind of know me and still remember me are mostly Dallas people and Dallas Stars fans. So as it turns out, you know, I knew this was going to be a pretty good year for them. I'm very happy that they got through game 7. And I mean, how about that? Did you guys go? Was anybody there? Were one of you guys there?
No. I had things to, I know. I was at Corey Seager's game one home run of the World Series. I think that might, you know, be the kind of comparison you need to have to make. It was a historic moment.
Yeah. It was, and it was, how about a guy who just stuck it up his ex-employer's rear end?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, everybody who has felt that they've been passed over by their previous employer or that maybe they weren't given a fair shake or, you know, like that, that's your poster boy. One assistant coach got fired. The other guys are on the hot seats now in Colorado, and all because of Mikko Rantanen. And, you know, one guy did that. That was as amazing a performance as I've seen in a single game of any sport of any kind. You know, you said Corey Seager's big home run, and you know, these are the things we remember. These will be core memories for people who are at those games, sporting wise. And that was pretty something. I'm very happy they were able to do that. But now, you know, it doesn't get easier. I know these are cliches, but every series has its own challenges, its own feel. This one's going to feel different than the last one. And, you know, and we're playing the arguably the greatest goalie on the planet in the other net. And that can be difficult. So, you know, and this is the number one team. This is a President's Trophy winning team. So it isn't easier. Right?
No.
This is not easier. No.
No, it's Ralph Stranges here with you on the Fan Call. 2,200 games for the Stars over 20 seasons. It's crazy, Ralph, that it's been 10 years.
I know. I wrote a piece on that on the Ralph Stack. Boy, am I good at product placement here, huh? And, right? As the shopping carts are clanging into each other behind me. I can't believe it's gone like that. But it's very interesting because I've lived this sort of parallel life. You know, most guys, all guys, nobody walks out on these jobs. Nobody does. And so everybody kind of dies in the chair, right? Mm-hmm. And I didn't want to do that. And so I'm kind of now, I'm doing this different life than the one I really could have had. And it's very exciting. But it also, you know, I've kind of gone back and forth with hockey over the years, too. It's sort of a love-hate thing, because when you do something for a living for a very long time, when you're done with it, you kind of want to take a big break. And I did. And then I sort of picked around the edges. But now, you know, the Stars are my team. I mean, I was a fan in 1967 when they came to Minnesota as the North Stars. I went to games with my dad. You know, I went to games before I worked for the team in Minnie, and then I moved here. I'm coming to games 3 and 4, and I'm sitting with Stars president Brad Alberts, and it's going to be great. I'm so excited that the Stars are making this available to me, and it's going to be a lot of fun. I can't wait to be in that building.
Yeah, you mentioned Hellebuck as sort of the one seed when you think about Winnipeg, but he's not been on fire. Like, isn't this a guy that can be taken advantage of right now?
I think so. I mean, if you're going to get him, now's the time to get him, right? Like, the Blues, he had a crazy series against the Blues. All four, if game 7 was at St. Louis, they probably don't win it. He was pulled all 3 times in St. Louis and had a goals against of 9. Over 9. Now, this is the greatest goalie on the planet, not having one bad game, but having 3 bad games on the road in that first round. And nobody could see that coming. He was able to straighten it out about the second period of game 7. And then he was fine throughout, but I like that that's a recent memory for him. You know, if you're looking at things that you might be able to lean on or take advantage of, he is... You know, he's not, I would think that anybody being human, I don't care how good you are, it's hard to shut all of that out, right? Like, it's hard to say, no, that didn't happen. And if he, you know, if he lets a soft one in, 1 or 2, you know, maybe those memories sort of start flooding back and maybe there's a little bit of doubt there, right? I know we're talking hypotheticals and maybes and hope for and all that stuff, and that's not generally a great strategy. But I think if you're going to get him, now is when you want to get him. I think if you got him in the conference final after he had another round to sort of settle in, it wouldn't be very good. But now you have a chance. You have a chance to get to him right now.
Ralph, you know, the Stars tend to have that lose game one mentality working. And does it? And I know they've kind of been able to navigate that. But the fact that the series, the home team is Winnipeg, does it worry you that Dallas doesn't have a game seven at home potentially if they lose game one?
That should put even more pressure on them and exacerbate the urgency of game one, because now that you're not the one seed,
right?
And you know, and you don't have a chance to get it back on the road next, you know, in the next few days. You know, if you go down 0-1 and even 0-2 here, because you can, you're on the road and these are tough games. Then it gets really tough because you got to win 4 out of 5. Dallas somehow has been able to navigate through these losses, but it is not the way to go. Like, you know, and I wrote in Substack, I don't know if you know this, but I have a Substack, Ralph Stack. I don't know if you guys heard about this.
Glad to hear about it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's good. It's really good. It's only $7.22 a month.
Okay.
So for the price of less than half a gallon of gas in California, you guys can, you know, or a small latte at Starbucks, you know, and I wrote that you can't keep going to this well. Like, you know, this is one you kind of have to steal. And Morrissey's probably out tonight, Winnipeg stud defenseman. I understand Mark Scheifele is probably playing, but he was hurt in game five. And the Stars already know how to play without their best defenseman and top goal scorer, who they might get back in tonight. I think he will be. I think Jason Robertson will be in tonight. And so this is the time you jump on him, because you don't want to be answering these same questions again. There's a mental toll to it after game one. Now, if you get somebody come in the locker room after this one, and they can ask different questions, you know, and you don't have to give the same answers. And it also sends a message to the team, if you get this one, that maybe this year is our year.
Right.
You know, because they got to be feeling pretty good after that first round, you know, but so is Winnipeg. These are two teams, based on how they finished that first series, their respective first series, that believe this is their year. This is the, you know, the gods are with them. And so this is the series to ferret that out. Which one do the gods really like, and which one is going to move on? And I think it all starts with game one. I really want them to get this one tonight. Like they just, they're due. They have to get it. They'll never have a better shot to get to Hellebuck and the Jets than tonight in that building.
Talking with Ralph Strand, just some Stars here. What do you make of the regular season matchups? How much of that do you, I mean, do you just kind of throw it out, or what can we take from those matchups?
Well, you can't throw it all out. And there's something about when you arrive at a building, whether you have a good feeling about it or a bad feeling about it, when you see those other uniforms, how do you feel about it? You know, there were buildings. I remember talking to Ed Belfour, the Stars goalie back in the Cup days in 1999. And he'd say, you know, some buildings, the lights, like Edmonton, he loved the lighting in Edmonton, you know, and he could see better in Edmonton. And his numbers in Edmonton are appalling. Like, they're unbelievable. They're so good. They're appalling. And so goaltenders, players, all get a good feeling when they're in a building. You know, we'd go into Detroit and nobody ever felt good about going into Detroit, you know, and then they'd, back in the old days, they'd paint the visitor's locker room right before the series started. So you'd be inhaling paint fumes when you were in Detroit. I mean, this was the old NHL, but there is something to it, and you do carry some of that forward, but you can erase so much of it if you storm in there tonight and take game one. And that's why, to me, this is the most important game they're going to play yet. And I mean, I know this kind of happens every round, but they really need this one tonight. And I'm calling them out, like, they have to get this one tonight. I really feel they have to get it, and they can get it.
Ralph, do you kind of feel like that maybe the winner of this series might win the Stanley Cup?
Well, it's, you know, you could say that about the first series, right?
Sure.
You know, that Dallas or Colorado, I mean, all these teams in the West are so stacked. We saw, you know, Vegas looked like they were going to, you know, just kind of roll with it last night. And then Edmonton scores 4 after being down 2-0, and it's 1-0 Oil. And, you know, now they've stolen home ice.
Right.
Dallas wants to do the same thing. But, I mean, I don't know. How do you feel about the next series if you get through and you got to play Colorado? Or, I'm sorry, you got to play Las Vegas, or you got to play Winnipeg. So it's, you know, I mean, there's nothing easy about this. Just nothing easy about it. But, yeah, I mean, you know, if you can take out, for Dallas, you take out the President's Trophy, you take out Colorado, you got to be feeling pretty friggin' good going into the conference final, especially if you can get those bodies back and not lose another one in this round.
Ralph, you are the man. I think your organic ice cream might be melting there. We'll let you get back to it.
It is. Yeah, I have to go get the orgasm.
There he goes. Ralph Strangis with you.
Okay, guys, thanks.
Cheers.
Yeah.
In the G-Back Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Yeah, that Trader Joe's, that's a good shop.
Yes. I like that. Mother's Day this Sunday, Mom wants to go and shop, so yes.
Really?
That's where she likes to go, yeah.
I mean, it feels kind of minimalist, but the quality of some of their items, like every item isn't for me. Some of their cereals, yeah. I'm like, no way I'm going to eat that. Mm-hmm. But some of their deli meats.
I'm just telling you, man, like you can go into some other grocery stores, and what you pay, you look down, you get like two bags, maybe three bags out of that store, that particular store. You get a Trader Joe's, I feel like I'm walking out of there with five bags for the same price of, you know. And
it's a good feeling.
They're the old paper bags.
Yeah, the old paper bags. But yep. I'm talking about, like, I love, like, they have the various, like, those, the things you could cook, like the orange chicken and things like that.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Kung Pao chicken. I love all those kind of those things that they put together. But it just seems like to me, I go to the other grocery store, I don't feel like I get enough.
Man.
With Trader Joe's, I feel like
you gotta get that HEB in your backyard, bro. That's
well, there's one coming. It's going to be down on Hillcrest. I think they're putting one in.
It's bad for the environment, but give me those plastic bags. Give me the mall size grocery store and let me just float up and down these aisles. Every single one of them
just packed.
Oh yeah, it's packed.
I kind of feel like I feel like I'm on a treadmill of just going around, and I have to. Yeah. Follow everybody.
It's bumper cars with the carts.
Yeah.
The best thing about this shift, I think, is the ability to go grocery shopping about 10:30 in the morning on a weekday. Right.
Yeah. You just wreck shopping.
I can't stand that feeling. You're having to chop your steps. You're having to wait for people to get out of the way. Oh,
do you ever
boy.
Get the person that stands right in front of everything you're looking, like the one thing you're looking for?
Yeah.
And you don't know how to approach them because they might turn and just snap on you.
Yeah. Like, do they have the right of way because they were there first, even though they're clearly confused about what they're looking at? I know what I want. Let me just sneak past you. Let me get that.
Excuse me, ma'am.
You want to say human beings aren't connected? Well, how did I walk into this grocery store 5 minutes ago needing the Ghirardelli milk chocolate chips, and nobody else is here, but I went down this aisle, and there's somebody sitting there doing inventory on these damn things for the next 5 minutes. I'm like, how am I supposed to approach this?
Grab the chocolate and go, lady.
Pardon me, I know you're doing your job, and I'm going to make you recount all of these because I need to take one of those.
So that barbecue place at HEB, no joke?
Dude, I've had the brisket one time. It was actually phenomenal. My dad gets it on the regular.
It looks like a regular restaurant in there. Is that what it is?
It's serious. Absolutely, it is. Right.
We got Jared Sandler coming up next, talking Rangers baseball with Sands next year in the Nation.
Some people play by the rules, but the real game changers break them. I'm Soraya, and on Rule Breakers, we're talking to the risk takers, the rebels, and the ones rewriting the playbook. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, buddies, welcome back. Join us tomorrow. About this time, we'll be post-Rangers game and living it up at Southern Leisure in Flower Mound, one of our favorite spots to broadcast from. And, I think about 3:30 or so, maybe 4 o'clock, depending on how quickly Tyler Malley works.
Did I hear we're... Chief, did you do a promotional for that? Are we giving away a grill or something like that tomorrow?
Yeah, look at that. Absolutely we are. Okay. Kamado Joe style. It's like a $400 grill.
Ooh, at least.
Is it a drawing kind of a thing, or do you have to like do the
I think it's
hot
a drawing.
Dog straw? What do we got to do?
I think you
got
to go
not
in
throw
there.
Up?
All you have to do is just put your name down, and then I think you get entered in to win. You don't have to do anything crazy.
Yeah, the Kamado Joe's something else. It's like you took a green egg and just like tricked it out better.
I need a grill so bad, dude. I gotta get me something.
I do too.
Okay, Jared Sandler set to join us here. Rangers pregame coming up at 5, Brian.
Yeah, just okay. Go ahead. I'll catch up after Jared. I was gonna the sight of many disasters we've had there, right? With like throwing up and stuff.
I'm surprised they want us.
That's
back.
What I'm saying. These people are beyond
trashing
nice.
Their showroom.
Yeah, yeah.
They're true. Turn it on, leave it on. Listeners,
they are.
I mean, Wooly Bully got in a Speedo and stood out in front of their establishment
like
his giant pasty femurs.
He did
for like an hour.
Yeah.
He did radio in their store like that.
That's right, he did.
He literally tainted our legacy there.
As Jared Sandler joins us now here on The Fan. Jared, how the heck are you?
He's in the building! Hey, guys, I'm great. It's pretty cool. I don't know if you guys brought us. Have you been to Fenway?
No, I have not.
You guys?
I have not.
I have not, no.
It's kind of crazy. You see this ballpark on TV, right? It's probably maybe Wrigley competes, but in terms of like just the general... If you're not watching a game, ballparks that get showcased, Fenway, if not at the top, near the top of the list. And then just I've been here before, but it's just so cool to be here and see this ballpark. And there aren't many parks like this, guys, where and maybe not many sports venues like this, where there's history and you walk in the grounds and you can legitimately, you know, think of all the players who have come
Lambeau
through.
Lambeau Field is like that.
Yeah, Lambeau, Wrigley. Yeah. We were talking about earlier because we took some of the players into the Green Monster for the first time.
So that's what I'm saying. Did you go inside the scoreboard? Did you go inside and do that?
Yeah. Yeah, wow. We went inside. We'll run, you know, every year you invariably get guys who are, you know, here for the first time and they want to go and be a part of that history. And that's the other thing, too. Like, how many, you know, how many sports venues have a feature or something a part of it that, like, it's like a rite of passage when you come here for the first time, you do something tied to it, right? They're not many, and it's really neat to think about it.
Jerry, did you sign your name on the wall? Did you guys put your names on the wall?
I did it in 2023, and I'm an idiot because I did take a video when I did it so that I knew where it was. I took a video from, like, entering the wall, and I just didn't look at it before I went back in there, and so I was looking for it, and Jack Leiter actually saw my name. He's the one. He's like, "Hey, here you are," and it was just cool to see it. And you know, Jack and I were talking about it. I would gladly erase my name if they could go back to just only player signing it. That's just not. Yeah. If you go in there now, I mean, you know, everyone and their mother has signed it. I think it would be really cool if it was only players. It's not, and so I was, you know, excited to put my name on it, given that, you know, that prerequisite was no more, but. It would be really neat if it was just players who had signed it. You could go and look and, oh, like, who's that? Or there's that guy and there's this guy. But now it's like you're just seeing Bob and Joe and Susan, and then, like, maybe you find someone's signature, you know, mixed among the non-players. But, yeah, it's cool to see all their reactions. And someone like Jack, who appreciates baseball history, you know, you could tell it meant something to him to be in there.
It's Jared Sandler here with you on The Fan, brought to you by Blue Nail Roofing. I don't know. Maybe it's their recent offense, but I like the look of this lineup here. Sands, what do you think?
Well, Gavin, if Josh Young's your nine-place hitter, and you know, that's not how he profiles, but just with the way they want to try break things up lefty-righty and the way guys are going, I mean, that tells you all you need to know, right, in terms of the potential and the depth in this lineup. Now, they got to, you know, start doing it, but, you know, they've taken some steps in the right direction. So, I like the lineup as well. I really do. And, you know, we're starting to see an uptick from Jock Peterson, and that totally changes the dimension, right? If that guy starts to become the Jock Peterson of, you know, the last 3 years, then you're totally looking at a different ball game in terms of what this lineup's able to do. And, him starting to hit the ball well. And you know, that's the next frontier. It's, you know, I say frontier like it's this undiscovered thing, but they're still not slugging, right? This lineup, you know, needs to start slugging. Only one home run in the team's last 11 games. And I got to believe that you look at the names in this lineup, the slug's going to start to come.
Josh Smith seems like he's here to stay in the leadoff role. He's playing extremely well. Would love your thoughts on the way he's hitting it, but also that play that he made defensively where he's looking around. Did he actually not realize that ball was in his glove last night?
Yeah, so I asked him about it. You know, he said that, you know, and Josh – kind of like a sore thumb, you know, he was dealing with that earlier this year. And so he said he still doesn't have like 110% feeling at all times. And so when the ball hit off his first baseman's mitt, he felt it roll up the mitt towards the edge and thought it continued rolling out of the glove, but it stayed in there. So he felt initial contact, but then he felt like it was initial contact that was heading you know, to a bad place or to an unhappy ending. But yeah, he thankfully he did keep it in his mitt, but he's been great. And you know, there's six guys with at least 100 plate appearances who have at least a 300 batting average and a 400 on base percentage, and he's one of them. And you know, he got off to a great start last year, and then it kind of tapered off. But you know, it was the most baseball he'd ever played, like ever.
Yeah.
Right. And, you know, I just don't think we account for what that fatigue might look like. And he plays through a lot. You know, he's an everyday player. He plays different positions. He's constantly having to put in work to make sure he's up to speed, you know, with whatever that spot might be. And he gets hit by pitches. You know, he's always near the top of the league lead in that or was last year. You know, he plays through a lot, and maybe it wore down on him, wore him down, I should say. But he's come out guns a-blazing. He's been huge for this team.
Jared, I was going to ask you about that because, you know, when he first started, he didn't hit very well. And there were a lot of questions, but the kind of the front office stuck with him. Do you think that's the difference in him, that the fact that they had faith in him and it kind of propelled him to where he is today?
Yeah, probably. You know, that 2023 season, Brian, if Josh has always been tied to Ezekiel Durrell since he came over here, because he came over in the same trade, and they're, you know, really good buddies and they have a cool relationship. And in 2023, in the first half of the season, when Corey Seager went down, it was Ezekiel Duran who took advantage of the opportunity.
Right.
And Josh Smith really struggled.
Yeah.
You know, it just wasn't individually, it was not a good year for him. But, you know, and I've had some conversations with Josh about this. It was a very odd year for him because, you know, on one hand, he had the type of year that is not good at all for his career individually. But on the other hand, they won the World Series, right? But then last year was totally opposite. At the beginning. And then, yeah, you know, I think there was some chatter this offseason. Do the Rangers move on from Josh Smith? Or, you know, would they be selling high maybe? Is it, you know, what's the direction they want to go and this and that? Was last year the best it will ever be? But they, you know, they believe in him. And then I'll tell you, no one believes in that guy more than Bruce Bochy does.
Right.
Bruce Bochy is a huge Josh Smith fan and probably a big reason why last year out of camp, Josh Smith, you know, he made the team, I guess, not that there's a scoring system, but quote unquote with ease. You know, I don't think it was really much of a conversation. I think Bruce Bochy is like, no, this guy's on our team. You know, that's not a topic, you know, up for debate. He believes in this guy. And I think that, you know, that sort of thing does go a long way with players. No doubt about it.
Jared Wyatt Langford with another assist last night. Looks like he's, you know, figured out the green monster pretty good already.
Yeah, that was nice. You know, he made a nice catch up against the wall as well. And, you know, it's not easy. It's not easy to play, play off the monster. We've seen a lot of, you know, whether it's Rangers outfielders, you watch a game, visiting outfielders have a tough time. So that was a nice moment for Wyatt. And I'll tell you guys, we heard so much last year at spring training, like, oh, it's going to be a big work in progress for him defensively. He's got a long ways to go. And, you know, I would say, you know what, maybe you're right, because he is so damn athletic that I think there is a ways for him to go, because his ceiling defensively is so much higher than the average person because of that athleticism. But Wyatt Langford's a good outfielder. Maybe the aptitude is just through the roof, and he, you know, he took strides at a rate way quicker than what people anticipated. But we've seen, you know, in Wyatt Langford, we've seen a good outfielder, and, you know, his ability to make the play last night and deliver a strong, accurate throw was good. But he moves really well out there, and he's just got great instincts. And that's something with Josh Smith, too. Those two guys have great baseball instincts, and that's not something that you see on the back of a baseball card. But just like, you know, I think would be true in any sport, that's something that is it's tough to quantify, but it's definitely valuable.
Hey, Jared, real quick, though, is the way the dimensions are at Fenway Park, are they the worst in the league when all the angles and stuff? Or is, like, our ballpark very similar to that when it comes to having to play that?
Yeah, it's not easy, right? It's a totally different dimension, no doubt about it. I would say Oracle in San Francisco, where, you know, we were a couple weeks ago, that's a tough one with, you know, the way things can just die off the archways in right field with that tall wall. But then you also have, you know, their own version of Triple's Alley, paying homage to the Polo Grounds. And then here, you know, you got the same thing, you know, that led to Benji Molina's cycle. But yeah, I would say that here in Oracle, and maybe there's another one I'm just not thinking of, but, yeah, definitely tough. I mean, I'll tell you this, Broadus, yesterday, even though it was raining, not super hard, but it was raining and there was no batting practice or anything for the Rangers, they still took all their outfielders out and playing balls off the monster, which I don't know that there are many features at a ballpark where you would feel that compelled at the beginning of the series to do something like that, even in crummy conditions.
Jared, thank you so much. Enjoy Boston tonight, and I guess we'll catch up with you tomorrow after the finale.
Sounds good, fellas. Appreciate it.
There he goes. He's at Jared Sandler on Twitter. A must follow for Rangers fans everywhere. We are 23 minutes from Rangers pregame. We're back to give you a little round tripper and a flavor of Bully Melrose reacting to that horrible Jets song, Fail. That's next year in the G-Bag Nation. Thank you very much, Lucius. It is the G-Bag Nation here on 105 through the Fan. We got about 10 minutes of sports here. Rangers pregame's coming up. We're 3 hours, 45 minutes from Stars-Jets game 1.
And our very own Bully Melrose has responded, give us a preview, but has responded to that horrible Winnipeg Jets. Yeah, this is it. So I'd be embarrassed as a Jets fan. We talked about this briefly.
Yeah. I have like secondhand embarrassment listening to this.
Here. I did a little research on this song right here.
Okay, all right.
I found out it's from a Winnipeg radio station. The show is called Ace Burpee Show.
Okay.
I've been strolling on it, like scrolling on a little bit, just hearing what they got to say and everything.
Yeah.
The station is called Virgin Radio.
This is definitely their soundtrack.
Makes so much more sense now.
Virgin Radio, bro. And they're really Canadian. Oh, yeah? Yeah, yeah, they don't like the song, no? They don't like it?
They're surprised.
Weird.
Ace Burpee sounds like one of these adults trying to do like a kid's YouTube channel.
It's crazy.
All weird, like Blippi or something. Okay, but anyway, here's Woolchuck reacting live on the cruise ship. Now, as this clip starts, you do hear his wife. So I want to apologize to the Woolly Bully, and by the way, congratulate him as he's made an announcement, and I'll give you the details on that after we hear this.
Another one?
Yeah.
Another one.
Oh, my God.
Just do it. Happy hump day, boys. I'm doing it, honey, huh? All right? I'm on it. You hear that song? You hear that song, eh? Yeah, man. Oh, my gosh. The Stanley Cup. Cup, cup, cup. Connor L. Suck, 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 suck. Oh, boys, the Jets have no shot. They got no shot to beat the Dallas Stars here, boys. It's just too much for them. Wyatt Johnston. Don't get too excited, Eric. I'm not talking Johnstons. I'm talking the Johnstons. Oh, he's going to have a big one in this series. I really, really think he's stepping out, boys. Even if you don't have the Robo and the Miro, I do think they're going to be playing. I don't care what anybody's saying about these ACL schmenshiels, all right? They're going to get their ass out there. This is hockey. Hockey players built different, all right? It's not like your candy asses in other sports. This is hockey. You bust a tooth, you get back out there. You break an ankle, you skate on it, all right? Last time I checked, the ACL was a long way from the heart. Okay, so he's going to get his ass out there. Robo, figure it out as well. We need our best. We need our best in this series, even though Canada, my God, that should be ashamed. I love the Canadians. I really do. It's my own country. But my gosh, I am so sorry. I am so, so sorry to everybody that listened to that crap that Winnipeg put out there. That's like, I mean, come on. Let's go ahead. Get Jimmy from Degrassi to go ahead and write something better. All right, go Stars. I love you, Texas hockey. All the way, boys.
Salute. There he goes. Bully Melrose.
Bully Melrose is the best.
Drunk Bully Melrose. Yeah, live from the middle of the ocean with his wife complaining and his baby just probably a little bit hungry.
Yeah. Is that like, cooing?
Dad, what are you doing?
I'm not sure, but we did hear from Eliza.
Yeah.
And we did hear from Woolchuck on social media earlier, Chief.
That's right. They have announced baby number two.
Dose.
Girl dad,
number two
as well. He was right. He was kind of crossing his fingers for the male heir.
Yeah, he was kind of saying he thought maybe he had done it this time. But
it is incredible. Since I had Abby like 13 years ago, everybody in my life like only has daughters.
Mm.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
So if you know me and you're about to get somebody pregnant, it's going to be a daughter. My brother managed to have the one son. There's like 13 grandkids, 12 girls. What's that?
12 girls?
Yeah.
Out of 50. Gosh, dang.
Yeah, it's a lot.
Yeah, it's a similar experience for me where it's just girls all over the place, it feels like. But
which is fine with me because I know what to expect now.
Sure.
Yeah, just keep them coming.
But Woolchuck made the decision with a pregnant wife.
That's right.
Who cannot appreciate a drink package on a cruise ship.
Uh-uh.
And a one-year-old baby. Yeah. Pregnant wife, one-year-old baby, no mother-in-law help.
Yeah.
He went dad of the year.
Hopped on a bird and then a boat. An 8-day excursion to the Caribbean islands with pregnant wife and a 1-year-old baby. Bully Melrose, you're a better man than me.
Should have gone for the trifecta and brought mother-in-law, you know?
I think he was doing his best. He was doing his best to get a little babysitter help out there. I cannot wait to hear the post game when he returns on what this trip was like.
Yeah,
one of the most ridiculous vacation decisions that a human being could ever make.
And I'm dying today because I need some woolly bully thoughts on this massive story that Brian helped break this morning. Bobby Belt, I think, tweeted it about 5:38. Adam Schefter had the report at like 6 o'clock.
He was behind Bobby by 25 minutes or so.
What a play by me.
Yeah.
But the Cowboys did it. They actually brought in Pickens, and you know, it's been an incredible day. You know, to start out that show at 6 a.m. with that, with Stars, with the Rangers playing offense. Now, I mean, I really thought the Luka curse might be real, you know, and it was affecting all DFW sport. The last 48 to 72 hours suggest it's over. Maybe the Lakers being eliminated.
That helps.
Freed us.
Wow.
That helps.
Think about that.
I like what you're doing with that because we needed something. We needed something big to happen. And now you have, like, you just have some good news all the way around with what the Rangers are doing right now. Obviously the Stars, this is incredible. And then even the Cowboys getting in the mix here.
Yes. Yeah. The greatest third period I think we've seen from the Stars in a long, long time. And then
maybe that was the moment.
I mean, this is the biggest Cowboys acquisition.
Yeah.
Since Amari Cooper.
That was a first round pick too.
There you go.
Yeah.
So I was wondering. So 6 years. And then, you know, beyond that, maybe even having to go back further as far as the moments that you get that allow you to reimagine suddenly what this football team might be capable of. I'm looking at left tackle, but it gets better. Yeah. I just saw a tweet from Hurtado. They are launching a spicy mustard sauce in store soon, Brian.
Wow.
You didn't think it'd get any better.
That's the best condiment going. Yeah. Spicy mustard, that's the one seed.
And they're jarring it. They're going to jar it up and sell it to you. Anything they make, I want. I even eat onions from Hurtado.
Dawson, Lucius, guys, would we use this as a binder on your briskets or something like that?
I would use this as spicy, a binder.
A spicy mustard binder?
I'm putting it on my turkey sandwiches.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I'm dipping a lot in this. I might just squirt some of that on.
Is mustard your favorite condiment?
100%.
Yeah. Is it?
Mustard is undeniable.
On a water
regular yellow
so
or, yeah. Or a fancy spicy, something like that. Now, what's happened to the Burgertron situation? Because he got sent down. Does that mean that thing never is going to see the light of day on the ballpark
menu? That's a shame.
Yeah, I think that's probably been shelved for now, but he'll be back with a vengeance. I mean, this guy just needs to get dialed. He's been through a lot. He's probably had an exhausting spring. You know, the body had enough.
I'd like for Hurtado to kind of see if they want to try it out for us when we're out there next time.
Yeah, maybe
drop special. Drop, you know, just say, hey, guys, we were thinking about this. Tell us what you think.
Well, speaking of food, the Milwaukee Brewers facing backlash from fans over the tax on their free hot dogs offered through their Hot Dog Club membership program. The Hot Dog Club sounds amazing. The
Hot Dog Club is pretty cool.
They're making you swipe for tax?
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, you heard.
Yeah, it's like a $60 buy-in for the Hot Dog Club. You get an exclusive, rare Milwaukee Brewers hat. And then you also have the opportunity
to get the old school hat
at a free hot dog every single time you attend a game. And last night was the unveiling, the first installment of Hot Dog Club night at the ballpark. And the fans that bought into this were disappointed to find out to get their free hot dog, they did have to swipe the card for the taxes on the dog.
No.
And what was it, like 40 cents?
Yeah. Something yeah. Like something just something.
Probably didn't even cover the credit card fee.
Minimal, but very disrespectful.
If it was the Brewers, I'd go for the brat. If you said gave me a choice between a $60 brat club, I'd be in the $60 brat club.
I'd much rather have one brat a series than a brat every and then a dog every game. Gee.
Ooh, I would too. Yeah. I would say I would go $99.99 to be in the brat club.
Yeah,
you know,
the brats up there are incredible. They've got it figured out.
The Brewers organization responding to the outcry by announcing they would cover the sales tax for Hot Dog Club members for the rest of the season. Quote, free will be free.
Thank you.
Some fans use the hot dog scandal to criticize.
Everybody needs to take a page out of the Atlanta Falcons book, please. Thank you.
And the iced tea people. What's that guy? What's the sweet tea guy?
Oh,
Lipton.
No. It's like 99 cent tea. It's a big, tall joint.
Oh, Arizona.
There we go. There you go, Lucy. You're right about that.
Get in there, get out.
Aside for sore eyes, those. They seem inflation-proof, damn near. Justin Verlander still winless with the Giants. He had another no decision. He's sitting at 1 year and $15 million, the all-time wins leader. But he cannot get a single dub now, 8 starts with the Giants. Thanks to Lucius Alexander and the Pimp Cup over there. Master Control here, 75 and Fitzhugh just went 3 flawless once again. Thanks to Eric Chiafalo as well. Wolchuk, send that man some love on social media. He'll be back with us on Monday. Thanks to Broadus as well. Rangers pregame coming up next. Till tomorrow at Southern Leisure in Flower Mound. You're going home with the G-Bag Nation. At ease.